All right. Well, today we read from Philippians chapter 2. Paul is writing a letter and encouraging the congregation or the saints gathered in Caesarea Philippi in the church. And he has some words of encouragement for us as well. And I think it's a good time this day and age for us to hear these words of encouragement, because sometimes it's really hard to stay encouraged, especially when we see everything that's going on. We as human beings really easily slip into discouragement, despair. I speak for myself when I look around and I see the way that things look. It's easy to sort of woe is me, worry and concern and mistrust, and it gets really hard. The life of all of us, all of our lives are very difficult, and I don't know of anybody who can completely avoid the suffering and who doesn't have moments of discouragement. So even for the hopeless optimist, you know, the one who is always looking at the bright side of things, even for them, there are days when the bright side is hard to find. And so hear from Paul in chapter 2 of Philippians, starting at verse 1. He says, "So, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, he says, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind." He's not saying if there's any, in a sense of there might not be any kind of encouragement or any comfort or any participation, affection, sympathy. He's saying if there is, and he knows there is encouragement in Christ. There is comfort from love. There is participation in the Spirit. There is affection and there is sympathy. And all of these things help keep us as a church united. And a church, I say, in the local congregational sense and in the larger sense. You know, we can look across the country and see, again, the discouraging things that we see, the divisive politics, the destructive social issues on all fronts, from racism and abortion and all of those different things that people fight about all the time. It doesn't matter if it's supposed to be a time of togetherness. There's always somebody looking to stir up trouble on either side or in any form. And it happens in the church as well. A lot of times there will be fighting, especially, so at this time and age, with the pandemic, with the virus, there's a lot of fighting in the church about whether or not we should wear masks, whether or not we should sing hymns, whether or not we should gather in large groups. And there are a lot of things that will look to divide us. There are a lot of things that we can choose sides over, that we can form camps around, you know, the no mask camp or the mask camp or any of those kinds of things. We can find division in anything. In the church, there could be division over what color the carpet should be, or what color we should paint the bathrooms, or what tablecloths to use, which hymnals to use, which music to play. There's divisions all over the place, and we have always, we've suffered from that in-house as well as in the church at large. Paul is writing this letter to bring everybody together. And I think we need that. We need that in this time, in this place, in our country, in our world. We need something to bring us all together. And there isn't anything, and I'll say this again, there's nothing in the world around us that's gonna bring everyone together. There isn't. You look around and there's nothing around that will bring everybody together. Something always has a one side and another, us and them. And there is nobody that has come up with something that can bring every single person together. It just isn't the way that the world works. And in fact, it's exactly the opposite of the way the world works, that being together and being united and being of one mind, as Paul says, isn't the way the world works. And it's not the way that the forces in the world want it to work. They want division. They want separation. They want fighting. They want sides. That is the way of the, as Luther would say, the devil, the world, and even our own sinful selves. We sort of revel in this dramatic fighting over issues and actions. And yes, there are things in our civil society that we ought to rise up against and fight about. There are things we need to argue about. There are things that we need to draw attention to. And you know those things in your heart as well as in mine and in others around. We know what those things are. But, in Christ, in Jesus, we are encouraged to have one mind, one heart, one love. In Christ. Paul says, any encouragement in Christ. So to encourage one another in Christ. And yes, he's writing specifically to believers in Caesarea Philippi. He's not necessarily writing to those outside the church that probably wouldn't quite understand what he's saying. And that's okay. He's writing to us in the church. And we as those in the church, as Christians who believe in Jesus, we need to listen to what Paul says, and we need to really hear the joy that comes from being united in Christ. And so he's saying there's encouragement in Christ. We encourage one another in Christ, in what he has done for us on the cross and what he did for us in the resurrection, what he did by sending the Holy Spirit, what he did by having the scriptures written, what he did by creating creation. We are encouraged in who Jesus is for us and for the world. We are encouraged in that. We know that to be something that will one day bring everything together, will one day complete all of this fighting and finish it all for one time. It'll be all done. There won't be us and them. It'll just be us. And we're going to leave that to God to decide who that us is. We're going to leave that up to Jesus to do that work. That's not going to be our job. That's way above our pay grade as human beings in this world to determine who the us is. We know from Scripture, and we believe Scripture when it says it's all of the believers in Christ. So we at least know that much, that it's believers in Christ. And Paul is encouraging the believers in Christ. And he says, is there any comfort in love? And love in the sense of this love between God and his world, between God and his children, between God and us amongst each other. Not love in the sense that the world paints the picture of love. And I've talked about that before. I'm not going to talk about that much more here today. But this idea of what love looks like to the world is not what Paul is talking about. That's not what's in the scriptures. That's not what we believe. And so we have this letter from Paul saying that there's comfort in the love of Christ. There's comfort in the love of God. There's comfort in the love of Christians with one another. There's comfort in that. There's assurance. There's confidence. There's peace. There's a safety in the love of the church. And Paul goes on to say that there's participation in the Spirit. And so we as those who have received the Holy Spirit work together in not only serving our neighbor around us and serving one another, but serving the whole world. We work to do that. And I know the church does that all over the place. Now, it doesn't always look that way. And because of the us and them camps, there's always problems with that. But we still participate in the work of the Holy Spirit in the church and outside of the church. That's what Paul is talking about, that there's this united work that we do. We don't always know what the list of the work looks like. We don't always have a checklist, but we know that we are united in that work together. And it'll look different in different places, and the participation of that, of the work of the Holy Spirit looks different because he uses different kinds of people. So encouragement in Christ, comfort from love, participation in the Spirit, affection and sympathy. In the church, we need to love one another. We need to serve one another. We need to hear one another. We need to listen to one another, and not just automatically, as the world does, as we do, because we're in the world, start going after our own inclinations and our own desires and our own wants and our own needs. We need to listen to one another. And we need to listen to the world out there as they are crying out for this peace and this comfort and this encouragement that we have as a church. The world is crying out for it. It doesn't necessarily use the words, please, we need Jesus, because they wouldn't know to use those words. Most don't know to use those words. But when we see the hurt, when we see the pain, when we see the tearing apart of separation in families and institutions and structures and churches and communities, we see the need for Jesus in the community. And we get to participate in with the Spirit in bringing that to them, however that looks, whatever that might look like. It looks different for different people. I said that before. I won't say that again. Affection and sympathy. And Paul says, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. So Paul is looking to the Philippians and he's saying, it's time to be together. Complete this joy that he has, Paul says, the joy that he has of being of the same mind, the same love, the same heart, everything should be of one accord, he says. We should all be doing this together. We shouldn't be doing this and fighting over them and over them and over this and over that and arguing here and arguing there and letting all of these things tear us apart. He says we should be of one mind, and this is the mind of Christ, he says. It's the mind of Jesus. Now, we could go crazy and sort of think, well, what would Jesus think? Well, what would Jesus do? And we'll drive ourselves nuts with that. Let's not do that. Through faith, as a church, we are united in Christ, united in body, mind, spirit, heart, love, service, all of those things. Christ is the one. Jesus is the one who unites us, who brings us all together. Not some weird mystical thing. It's a reality for us that Christ unites us. And we know that one day Christ will unite it all. And I said that before. Well, one day he will. One day there won't be us and them. It'll just be us. And so Paul is saying, as much as it depends on us and the work of the Holy Spirit and the encouragement of Christ and the participation, all of that stuff, as much as it depends on us, we should be united. We can be. We can be united. And we can still have our differences. We can still prefer one color over another. That's not going to change. We can still prefer one hymnal over another. That's not going to change. But those things shouldn't divide us. They just make us different and sort of like, to picture. Okay, here's a word picture for you. The soup of the church is... Everything is all sort of mixed together in a soup, right? We have carrots and we have corn, we have peas, we have beans, we have maybe we have meat, maybe we have noodles, maybe we have some seasoning, and all of this is sort of mixed together, and it makes this wonderful, wonderful, hearty soup. But each of those on their own, they're separate, and they don't come together to make a soup. They're just separate ingredients. But when you mix them all together, and they're participating in the soup together. They're of one stew, right? They're of one bouillabaisse. They're of one together in the pot of stuff. They make a great soup. And that's what the church is a great soup. Hearty. Maybe a little spicy. But it all works together. And it's Jesus who brings that all together. It's the Holy Spirit that stirs it all up and makes those flavors all fit together. So that's our word of encouragement for today from Paul. And we need to hear it and know it, believe it. We have that faith. And yeah, we'll mess up. And Christ says, you're forgiven when you mess up. Don't do it intentionally. But we sometimes do. But the grace of God is there to cover those mess ups. The grace of God is there to be poured out and bring us all together. Sometimes when you're making that soup, you add a little too much salt. Well, throw in a potato and it soaks up the salt. So there's ways to do that, right? God has figured out that way. We haven't quite got it down yet, but God has. And he will continue to until that day when Jesus comes again and unites us all. And we look forward to that day. We pray for that day. The sooner the better, for all intents and purposes. The sooner that Jesus comes back, the better. And we pray for that. So encourage one another. Be compassionate with one another, affectionate with one another, sympathetic to one another. Be of one mind with one another. Be of one heart with one another. And enjoy the good gifts of God's world, his creation, his church. Amen.